Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dave Anthony. Today, someone who also has a podcast that we hope you listen to on our network, Trey Gowdy, who also happens to be a former congressman who spent 8 years as a Republican in the House. Too many, if you ask him, and I did. And he was a state and federal prosecutor as well in South Carolina. And he has a new book out, Start, Stay, or Leave, The Art of Decision Making. All of that is a formula for a conversation way too long for us to fit into our regular rundown podcast during the week. So I knew going in there was going to be an extra this weekend, and here it is. And it's going to start with the classified document drama, as special counsels investigate former President Trump and President Biden for the materials found in their residences. Even Vice President Pence found some at his house that he turned over to the FBI. Now, House Republicans are also investigating the Biden situation, something Trey Gowdy knows all about from his time as a committee chairman. He famously led the investigation in Congress into the deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, back in 2012. So, okay, I think I've set it up enough. We thank you, as always, for being here. Please subscribe, if you haven't already, to The Rundown and to Trey's podcast while you're at it. And now, former Congressman Trey Gowdy on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Joining us on the Fox News Rundown is someone who knows all about podcasting because he has his own podcast, the Trey Gowdy Podcast, here on our Fox News Podcast Network. This, of course, the Fox News Rundown. And he, of course, is also a former congressman and an author. New book out this week, Start, Stay, or Leave, The Art of Decision Making. Congressman, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And when you were introducing me, it struck me how hard it's been for me to hold jobs down throughout my career.
I forgot you are also, I shouldn't forget this, you're on TV on Sunday night. You have your own show on Fox.
I am, just until the bosses find out, and then they can find somebody better.
Sunday night they're not watching, is that
No, they're not. They're watching the Cowboys game.
Should I bring the Cowboys up?
No, it's too soon.
Okay, all right. I don't want to be on your bad side here in a minute.
They're on my bad side. You're not on my bad side.
I do. Congratulations on your book, and we'll get into why you wrote it and all the and the art of decision making. But I wanted to bring up, because you have been in Congress, you've been an investigator in Congress, you were a federal prosecutor, this classified document drama that's going on now. First former President Trump last year, now President Biden and Mike Pence, we find out, the former vice president and others, maybe down the road. Where do you think this lands? How big a deal is this to you?
I think it's a big deal for any of us that were on committees in Congress that handle classified documents, because to say that we would never leave the room with classified documents is a gross understatement. It wasn't an option. We wouldn't have done it had it been an option. Even when you took notes, your personal notes on classified documents, the notes stayed in the SCIF. So for those of us that served on House Intel or Ethics or Judiciary and dealt with classified documents, we're wondering, how in the world did these documents get from where they were supposed to be to a private residence or a beach house or a locked room in Florida? I mean, I don't think anyone is going to wind up being criminally prosecuted for this. I don't. I could be wrong, but I don't. I do think we need to figure out, and it shouldn't be that tough. If you get classified documents in the course of your duties as president or vice president, who's bringing them to you? Who's making sure that you are returning them, not at the end of your tenure, but at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's what's so interesting. I mean, you could say, well, they were rushing. He was out of office as vice president. They had boxes of stuff, and they just threw him in and, got rid of him and put him in an office or in a closet. But again, how does he even get these documents to do that? And former President Trump had a lot of material.
I'm sure there are skiffs in the vice presidents. I mean, the DNI, John Ratcliffe had a skiff. I'm sure Pompeo had skiffs. So there are rooms. So you put it in a locked bag and it's couriered to you, and then you have to look at it in a skiff.
Okay.
The proper process should be that it never leaves the skiff. And the proper process should be, okay, I'm done with these documents. You can take them back, which then begs the question of, what's the source? Who is the source of the documents? Is it the Department of Defense? Is it geospatial? Is it the Department of Justice? Who is the keeper of the record? And why don't they have a log saying, excuse me, Mr. Vice President, we hope you have a great, move to your new house, but we need the following documents back. It is befuddling to me how classified information can just be unaccounted for decades.
So a lot has been made, especially by Republicans, that President Biden called former President Trump, reckless, irresponsible for having all those documents at his property that the FBI seized. And now he's dealing with his own, and he says he has no regrets. So the problem, and you dealt with this in Congress, you have Republicans reacting, Democrats reacting. Are they just defending their own team and going after the other team? Is anyone looking at this fairly? Is there a way to? I just, is one worse than the other, Trump or Biden?
I think you put your finger on maybe why I left. Fairness is really not a virtue in the modern political environment. It's a tremendous virtue in a courtroom. But in politics, we have a tendency to defend our friends and criticize our perceived opponents. I'm not sophisticated enough as a thinker to have two different standards. I'd like to have one standard. If it's wrong for my opponents to do it, now, that doesn't minimize. There are always distinctions in cases.
Yeah.
Whether the documents were kept in a pool room or a garage or a home office, that is a factual distinction. It's just a distinction that doesn't make a difference. So when I see the media say, oh, but it's different, the lawyer in me says, every case is different.
Right.
Sometimes I used a knife. Sometimes I used a gun. Sometimes I killed somebody on Friday. Sometimes it was on Wednesday. Yeah, there are differences. The differences just don't make a difference.
Well, the difference that people point out, especially Democrats, is former President Trump did not give back the documents that he claimed, his lawyers had claimed he did, and the FBI went in and found more after the Trump team had said we'd cooperated. The president, President Biden, says, look, I've been cooperating all along. We found them, we handed them over, and we said, come on in, look for more.
I would say a couple of things in response to that. The word cooperate to me includes the word truth. I used to hear all the time the defendant had cooperated.
Yeah.
Well, not if what the defendant's saying is not true. The second question is, have they asked the same questions of President Biden that they ask of former President Trump? President Trump, I think, to the extent that he's in legal jeopardy, it is for his response. All right. Well, there need be no response if you're not asked.
Mm-hmm.
So what the media says is different is a separate crime. It is obstruction. It is false statement to the FBI through your lawyers.
Yeah.
But if the FBI never asks you any questions, how in the world can you possibly make a false statement to them? That does not eliminate the other two statutes. Are you possessing property that's not yours? And are you possessing mishandling classified information? How you react to their investigation of these two crimes is a separate crime.
Okay. But both would be under that last part, the two things, right? Both had documents they shouldn't have had.
Government property that was not theirs, and the allegation is material that was classified.
Others have gotten in trouble for that, right, legally?
there are people that have been prosecuted under the gross negligence. I think what the department, and again, trying to be fair, even though there's not like a huge appetite for that, I think the department would tell you we are looking to see whether someone benefited from it.
Okay.
It's not simply the negligence.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which is why it matters what documents were taken by former President Trump and current President Biden, because what was taken may lead you to a motive, and then you can determine whether there was any benefit gleaned.
Okay. All right. So you're – but two different special counsels doing two different investigations under the same umbrella. Which one do you think has a harder job?
I actually think they both have pretty easy jobs.
Really?
Because neither one of them is going to result in criminal charges. So, I mean, how in the world do you prosecute former President Trump and not prosecute current President Biden?
Well, what if there's obstruction found on say, Trump or whatever?
What was that again?
Obstruction. What if obstruction is an allegation in one case but not the other?
Then I am sure President Trump supporters would say, you know what, it is really difficult to give misleading or false information to the FBI when they never ask.
Okay.
So I think what people expect from the Department of Justice is if you have similar fact patterns, you investigate those fact patterns in similar ways. They're still getting consent to search for President Biden, which means the president can say, I give you consent to search this room, but not that room. They didn't, towards the end, afford that privilege to former President Trump. They used a subpoena, and then they executed a search warrant. I would be curious. I don't know, and I hate speculating, but I'd be curious if there were a full-blown search of all of President Biden's residences, whether we would find more.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So, you have investigated in Congress, obviously Benghazi. There was Fast and Furious with the guns in New Mexico and drugs and that. How hard is it for the House Oversight Committee and the current chairman, James Comer, Republican, of course, to do his own investigation into classified documents?
It's very hard. You're only as good as the documents and the witnesses that you have access to. And if you are fighting an administration that slow walks you, if you're fighting a media headwind of, you know, why do you need this? Is there an ongoing criminal investigation? You're going to mess up the criminal investigation. Those are headwinds. The biggest headwind is, are the witnesses going to show up? Are they going to answer your questions? Are you going to get the documents you need? The Department of Justice has a longstanding policy. They do not cooperate in congressional investigations about pending matters. Both of those matters are pending.
Yeah.
So Congress is welcome. And I had some colleagues that took the approach, you know, that's your DOJ policy, but that has nothing to do with us. Okay. So you hold them in contempt. Who gets to prosecute contempt cases? The executive branch.
Right.
Which means the Biden administration is going to prosecute the Biden administration for not producing documents and witnesses. And while I am not like a fortune teller, I can tell you that ain't going to happen.
Your time in Congress, you did four terms. You wrote in your new book, which is, again, Start, Stay, or Leave, The Art of Decision Making. It's out this week. You wrote that you were there too long. Like, you wanted to leave after your third term. You wrote a letter that you were readying that you were not going to run again for term four, but you ran again.
Yeah. Friendship. That you have to know what your weaknesses are in life, and I have a bunch of them, but friendship has always been a weakness of mine. Tim Scott was my closest friend in Congress. He asked me to stay for good and legitimate reasons.
Senator, South Carolina, you guys became good friends.
He will preach my funeral, so long as he's not responsible for my funeral. He will preach it, yes. But Tim, you know, South Carolina has a rich, provocative history as it relates to race. And he was going to be on the ballot statewide for his own full six-year term. Mm. And he said, let's do it together. And a little known fact, we debated our opponents on the same debate stage. I don't know if a member of the Senate and House have ever conducted a debate together.
But that is so unusual. Yeah.
We wanted to do it. I didn't want to run. But when he talked me into running, he said, let's do it together and I'll never ask you to stay again. And he never asked me to stay again.
So your book's The Art of Decision Making. You made a decision you didn't want to do.
But as I discuss in the book, this is where leaving is hard. You love your coworkers, but you don't love your job.
Yeah.
And when I think back on—
A lot of people feel that way, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, John Ratcliffe. I would not have gotten to know John Ratcliffe, who will wind up being a pallbearer of mine. I would not have gotten to know him
if I had not stayed.
Well, you know what? Part of the book is, what do you want it to look like? I mean, what do you want your retirement party? I don't want to sound moribund, but— Your retirement party.
Well, that's better than funeral.
50th wedding anniversary. I mean, what do you want people to say? And if you have in your mind what that closing argument or final picture looks like, are your decisions getting you closer to it? So the way I look at it, it was 2 years too long in a job. That was the cost. The benefit is relationships that I will keep for the rest of my life. So— Was it worth it? I don't know. But also, you can't, one thing you cannot do anything about is what has already happened. So I left after 8 years instead of after 6 years, 2 years. Is that the right price to pay for lifelong friendships? Probably yes.
You were a federal prosecutor years before you were in Congress. You had wrote in the book it was your dream job.
Was.
But you got sick of it. It became like, I guess, as you wrote, you didn't get a lot of great cases.
The federal system is not where you need to be if you want to prosecute violent crime.
Yeah.
You need to be in the state system. So I left my dream job because I wanted to prosecute homicide and assault and robberies and burglaries. And I did that for 10 years. And then, you know, also write about when the price you pay for even doing something you love is too much. And for me, the price was, you know, from a faith standpoint, what I grew up being told and what I was listening to on Sunday mornings was not consistent with what I was seeing in crime scene photos.
Well, I know what you wrote in the book, but why? What was it? Were you questioning why God could? Because people say that all the time. How can God let children be molested, right? Why could God let these crimes? You've seen things that none of us have seen.
Right. And the question is better than the answer. I mean, the answer, there's a book in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk. It's a very little known book. But he spends the whole book saying, God, how can you let this happen?
Yeah.
And the reason I know the book of Habakkuk is because I used to say, how can you let this? You have an elderly couple. They've worked hard their entire lives. They've done nothing wrong. And someone comes into their house with a hammer and beats them to death and then rapes her postmortem. Yeah, I think it's appropriate to say, God, why?
Yeah. You wrote that your first big case, and this is why closing argument was early in your book, you wrote the ending of your trial first.
Yes. I do it with speeches. I do it with my Sunday night television show.
You don't watch the end of a movie before you watch the movie, do you?
I don't do that.
end of the book.
Although I'll tell you what, if I really, really like a character and I find out the character's not going to make it, I'm probably not going to watch the rest of it.
Okay.
People don't remember everything. Some people argue they remember what they hear first. Some people argue what they hear last. Nobody argues what you hear in the middle. So if the closing argument is the most important part of a trial or a speech, then why not kind of map that out and see what gets you there?
When you made your choices, you talk about starting, you talk about staying and then leaving. What's the hardest thing for you? If you have a job you like, staying or leaving, what's harder?
I think staying is harder because it lacks the excitement of something new and fresh. And we kind of condition our minds to think that the grass is greener somewhere else. And so what I caution people in the book is make sure what you're leaving doesn't follow behind you. Uh-huh. If you're not happy with something about yourself, then changing where you work is not going to fix that.
True.
I don't think.
True.
So,
but I wonder if leaving was tougher because you've done several of these things. You know, you've moved on from jobs you liked or didn't like, but you have when you stay somewhere. What if you're doing fine? You're making good money. You're raising kids. Everything's fine.
Right.
Leaving, there's a lot of uncertainty with leaving. You don't know what you're going to get into.
Yeah, I would say with leaving, I mean, at least the way my mind is conditioned, I'd rather jump out the window than be pushed. I used to have this saying I would share with my children, nobody can miss you if you don't ever leave. I share it with my friends in politics. We've all seen athletes that stayed too long.
But what if you disappoint people by leaving?
I think that you're going to disappoint people if you overstay your welcome too. And I'd rather people ask, why did you leave too soon than why did you stay too long? And part of this book is you got to figure that out for yourself. How do you define success? How do you define failure? What do you want to see at the end? I just don't want people to say, and I'm sure there are people out there right now saying, we were saying that after your first 6 months. When will the guy leave? I know myself, and I just don't want people to say he's an aging athlete. He just kept bouncing from team to team because he couldn't let go.
You're in the media now. You wrote in the book the media was one of the worst things you dealt with when you were in Congress. Now you are the media.
Yeah.
Have you had a hard time with that?
I try to be fair. On my show, I do have people that don't agree with me, and I spent 20 years cross-examining people. I don't need to do it on Sunday nights. I don't need people to see that I can raise my voice or I can make people uncomfortable. I am not afraid of the other argument. I think the best argument should win. So what I do on my show, I've had people that I don't agree with anything comes out of their mouth. But I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and then the viewer can make up his or her mind who has the more compelling case. Look, when you cross-examined people in murder cases, disagreeing on whether the tax rate should be 36 or 34% just doesn't seem that significant.
Do you miss winning the case?
I miss the courtroom, I do.
Because winning has to feel like justice has been done. You've done something good, even though you can't bring the victim back or you can't repay what wrong happened. It has to feel good.
I think you put your finger on one other thing that people have to sort out for themselves. Are you motivated by a fear of failure or are you motivated by a desire for success? And I was never motivated by a desire for success. My fear was failing. So even after a successful trial, it wasn't like I didn't feel good. I just felt I had met expectations and it's time to go pick up another file. I just did not want to fail the family of the homicide victim.
Start, stay, or leave. The Art of Decision Making. It's the new book that is just out this week from former Congressman Trey Gowdy. You can watch him Sunday night in America on the Fox News Channel. Also, the Trey Gowdy podcast right here on our Fox News Podcast Network. Congressman, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for reading the book.
I enjoyed it. I really did. I know that you're probably, of course you're going to say that, and I really did. I liked it a lot.
You're kind. I'm not sure my mom and my wife have managed to make it through the end yet, but it's just out today anyway.
That's okay. So. My wife doesn't listen to this either, so that's okay.
She'll be very mad. She did read it. She'll be very mad at me saying that, but I appreciate you reading it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.